We are good to go. Thank you.
Okay. Good evening. I'd like to call the Wednesday, May 12th, 2021 meeting of the Oceano Community Services District to order. Can we get a roll call, please?
Yes. Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Aplogle?
Here.
Director Villa, I'll get with shortly after this. And then Vice President White?
Here.
And President Austin?
Here. Okay, what brings us to the flag salute? I pledge allegiance to the flag.
To the flag.
Of the United States of America. United
States of America.
To the Republic. And
to the Republic for which it stands. One nation.
Under God.
Under God.
With liberty and justice for all.
Invisible.
And then with that, I'd like to just bring it up that this week, May 9th to the 15th, is National Police Officers Week, where fallen officers are honored for losing their lives in the line of duty. And as we all know, we had a tragedy here in San Luis Obispo on Monday night, where one of the San Luis Obispo Police Department officers lost his life and another was wounded. And I just want to convey our deepest sympathy and condolences to the family of Detective Benedetti from the San Luis Obispo Police Department. And I want to send our good thoughts and good wishes to all our law enforcement agencies in the San Luis Obispo County. And also to send the wishes for speedy recovery to Detective Steve Orozco, who is home recovering. And I again want to thank all our law enforcement in the San Francisco County for the job they're doing, and extend our condolences for this tragedy that's hit our county so hard right now. All right, thank you very much. Thank you. We'll move on to agenda review. Does anybody want to change anything on the agenda?
I have nothing.
Nothing? Okay, I think we need a do we make a motion for a gender review, or do we just agree that it's...
You generally do, but you don't necessarily need to approve the agenda.
No changes. Another meeting, they said you don't have to do, and I just want to double check.
No, you have done it in the past, but...
Well, we all agree to leave the agenda as is, so I guess we'll take the agenda as presented. Now we'll ask for Mr. Minery to give a report out of closed session from April 28th, 2021.
Thank you. There were two items on closed session on that date. And the first was the receipt of a government claim code, and the district voted unanimously to reject the claim. And the second item was to consider potential to initiate litigation, and there was no reportable action on that item.
Okay, thank you. Do I call for public comment on this now?
Public comment matters not on the agenda.
Okay. All right, then we'll move on to public comment for matters that are not on the agenda. Is there any public comment tonight?
And yes, just to remind the public, it's *9 if you're on the phone. And then if you're on your computer or tablet, you can hit the raise hand button to notify you of public comment.
Okay, thank you.
And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
Okay, thank you very much. Welcome, Director Villa. Are you?
Yeah, finally here.
Welcome to the meeting. Thank you. Okay, there's no public comment for items not on the agenda, so that'll bring us down to our special presentations and reports. We'll start with the Sheriff's South Station, Commander Jay Wells. Is he with us tonight?
I am.
Good evening, Commander.
Good evening, members of the board. I appreciate your acknowledging National Police Officer Memorial Week. As you know from years past, we've usually had an event somewhere in the county. Due to COVID, it was postponed last year, and then this year, again, postponed due to the pandemic. However, we seem to be getting an untimely opportunity to have Police Officer Memorial Week with the passing of Bo Pryor and also with Detective Benedetti. So they will be honored and remembered and memorialized as they should be. It's a somber time for all of us at the Sheriff's Office as well, as we work through this, because we're all partners in law enforcement and we all help each other out. And the Sheriff's Office is actually providing service coverage to the city of San Luis Obispo until tomorrow morning when they take over their city again. And that's just to allow their department an opportunity to process and remember. As far as statistics go for the month of April, at the Oceano substation out of the Oceano area, we had 529 calls for service. A total of 87 reports were generated, 19 arrests, and 28 cases were filed with the DA. I know that's a brief summary. Same trends seem to be existing with minor opportunity crimes and thefts being our highest number of crimes that we investigate lately. And then, as I spoke to just a couple weeks ago, still dealing with parking issues, I did have a meeting with our community action team and Supervisor Compton yesterday to discuss the parking issue. And she assured me that parking and or illegal camping will be on the board's agenda in the coming months to try and give us a little bit more enforcement ability to affect the quality of life in not only the Oceano area, but all of the unincorporated areas of the county. I did make inquiries about safe parking as asked by Director Rapogel, and there currently is no county-sponsored safe parking arrangement. It was in the early days of the pandemic, slightly successful, but also very costly to the county and not well attended. They are revisiting that with offering safe parking in the near future, but we're just gonna have to wait and see what that looks like so we can maybe offer some of these people that are causing our parking problems a place where they won't cause problems. With that, I don't have any other commentary other than to thank you for acknowledging all of us, and we appreciate you as much as you appreciate us. And I'm open to any questions that you may have.
All right, thank you very much, Commander. Is there any questions for Commander Wells?
Yes, I have one. Okay. I'm just wondering how the complaints about illegal fireworks are going as we move into the holidays.
We haven't had any that I'm aware of. I run the statistics regularly looking for fireworks complaints, especially after receiving the most recent letter from the Not My Namesake Wells family in Oceano. And we have had no fireworks complaints in the last few weeks at all.
Okay, thank you. I've heard some.
Okay, is that it, everyone?
Just one thing. Thank you, Commander Wells, for checking into the safe parking program. I hope that comes back at some point. And I phoned in a fireworks complaint about a week ago, so there was at least one.
Okay, well, I must have overlooked it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Commander Wells. And again, all of our best thoughts and prayers are with you and all the departments in the county right now.
And I second that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
That brings us to Chief Lieberman. I understand he's here.
Good evening, Board. Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief. I hope you're doing well, and I appreciate all of your comments to Commander Wells. Five Cities Fire is doing everything it can to support both the city of San Luis Obispo as well as the city of Arroyo Grande with the loss of former Chief Pryor and Detective Benedetti. We will likely be providing coverage and responding to calls in the city of San Luis Obispo during the time of the ceremony, which is being planned at this point. We will have engines from every city in the county supporting the city of San Luis Obispo Fire Department so their crews can also attend the service for Detective Benedetti and support his family. With that, Five Cities Fire Authority has been very busy, and there's been a real strong focus in training, as there usually is during the springtime. We posted Driver Operator 1B, which is the technical portion of pumping, hydraulics, mathematical calculations to pump enough water to a fire, given a water supply. We've got employees in both company officer, which is basically the captain level rank, as well as chief officer professional development series courses, which are being offered in Paso Robles. The S series, anytime there's a course with an S, it indicates it's for wildfire training. there's been a series of classes hosted by Five Cities Fire with employees attending from both San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. The by hosting the class, our employees can attend the class at no charge. The fees paid by outside students covers the instructor and materials costs, so it works well for us. RT-130, which is the annual wildland refresher training, is in place currently. Our crews are dusting off their wildfire gear, reacquainting themselves with Bendix King's radios, and drilling. So you may see them out and about in their wildland gear, hiking and cutting line, but all of that is in preparation for what sadly appears to be a very active wildland season. Fuel moisture levels throughout San Luis Obispo County and the state, and actually the Pacific Northwest, are at very low levels, indicating that there, obviously with the lack of rain, very little new growth, and the vegetation that's there is drying out. So our crews will be ready. Related to that, I just found out we received a $230,000 reimbursement from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which represents the Forest Service. We're within about $100,000 of recovering our over $500,000 in costs from last fire season. So that was a welcome deposit in the bank account. We will be running an in-house promotion to fill a vacant captain's position that was last served by Battalion Chief Salcy, which will create some lateral opportunities, right? So an engineer will likely be promoted to captain, a firefighter will fill that engineer's position, and we'll have an opportunity to hire a full-time firefighter. We are in the planning stages for that recruitment, and we hope to have it done by the end of June. Quickly, I'll wrap up shortly. As most of you know by now, we did respond to a commercial structure fire at Walmart. Thankfully, no injuries to report. Fire was contained. It was a second alarm fire. We were grateful for the assistance from Santa Maria, the California Men's Colony Fire Department, the City of San Luis Obispo, and CAL FIRE for the assistance they rendered. We are going to do a post-incident analysis, which is an in-house review of how the call went as a no-fault learning experience. We'll be doing that next week. We've been responding to quite a bit of bird-related calls. Perhaps you saw on KSBY the story about the birds in the chimney in Montecito, and also in Arroyo Grande. We've dealt with those, as well as a wild turkey that flew through a window in Arroyo Grande, and our crews were able to capture it and release it safely. We do have a board meeting coming on the 21st, which we will be bringing to the board our proposed budget for the next fiscal year, a request to order a replacement wildland fire engine, and we'll be briefing the board on the initial stages of negotiations with the labor unit. I think I'll take a pause there to see if there's any questions and conclude my report. Thank you.
Any questions for Chief Lieberman? No.
Thank you.
On the Walmart fire, was it all contained outside in the loading dock? Is that what I understood?
Yes. Thankfully, it did not get through the firewall, into the building. So we're very fortunate.
Okay. Thank you. That's it. Anyone else have any questions for Chief?
What was the cause of the fire? I missed it.
Still under investigation.
Oh, it's okay.
Still under investigation with our folks.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're busy. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
And good evening.
From there. Thank you, Chief Lieberman. Okay, that brings us to our utility systems manager, Tony Maritino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maritino, Utility Systems Manager. So Lopez is currently at 37.5% full, which is 18,510 acre feet. We had zero sewer system overflows in the month of April. We are currently taking state water, which in the month of April, we got delivered just over 58 acre feet. And we pumped under an acre foot of water for sampling purposes. So the sidewalks on Wilmore and Paso are complete for the safe pathways to school. The paving is complete on Wilmore, but they still need to pave on Paso Robles Street, and that will be completed next week, Thursday. We're continuing daily rounds, weekly, monthly samples. We had 11 work orders, 8 USAs, 7 customer service calls, 0 after-hours call-outs. We did some building maintenance, first of the month equipment runs, lateral hotspots, cameraed and rotted all the laterals that are the hotspots that we do. We're continuing to do trash pickup and meter replacements, and we are really focusing on completing the hydrant maintenance, which is the maintenance of the hydrants and painting them. Any questions for the past 2 weeks?
Any questions, anyone? Like everyone's good, Tony.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Now we're with our general manager, Mr. Clements.
Good evening, board. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. So we continue to work with the bank to satisfy their underwriting requirements on the payoff of our UAL that was approved at last board meeting. And we anticipate closing that deal on June 3rd. So we look forward to that. I forwarded you a response from the county on our letter that we wrote asking them to consider adding a social host liability section to the county code. And their intention is to kind of monitor the results of your board changing our ordinance to make the discharge period only on July 4th. They want to see if that helps solve the problem before they begin working on any modifications to the county code. So it seems to be a reasonable plan, especially given the fact that the staff of the county is really stretched thin due to the pandemic. We also had a kickoff meeting with our demographic consultant that's going to guide us through the districting process in our district. And I learned that because we're a special district, they don't really refer to the districts as districts, but rather divisions. So you'll be eventually the director of Division 1, Division 2, Division 3 of the district. So what is required over the next year is 4 public hearings. And we know that the census data is delayed till later in the year. So we went over a schedule that they're proposing because there's very few consultants that do this work in California. So they're getting swamped with clients, which I guess for them is a good thing. But it's really gonna be interesting how they're able to juggle all the balls. So counties have different deadlines, cities have different deadlines, and special districts have different deadlines for when the maps need to be adopted. For us as a special district, our map needs to be adopted by, I believe, May 12th, 2022. So what that means is we're going to have 2 public hearings initially next month. So kind of prepare yourself. And the purpose of those 2 public hearings is to kind of introduce the process, introduce the different aspects of the districting, and get community and board feedback on neighborhoods, where, you know, what's a natural division of the community, etc. So that's the purpose, is to kind of provide the demographer with your experience as to your community. Then they'll take that information and then they go to the census data and they draw proposed maps on how it could look. So then the next two public hearings won't be held until March of 2022. And that's when you'll get to see the maps, you'll get to make comments, and then choose your preferred map for the districts. So that's kind of the process that we'll be going through. It's a little bit long and drawn out, mostly because of the delay in the census data, but also because there's just such a large crush of agencies that are doing this. So at least we'll get a head start next month and kick the process off, but you won't be adopting your map until next March. And then that would be in effect for the November 2022 election. And with that, I think that's all I have to report.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Are there any comments or questions for Mr. Clemens?
Yeah, I've got a couple. The meetings next month, will they be in person?
No, there'll be Zoom meetings.
I think we're going to be excluding a lot of the community if we do that. And the county, sorry, the state is reopening on June 15th. So perhaps we could have the meetings later in the month and have them maybe mixed virtual and in person.
A mixed meeting is going to be difficult to have. The technology set up to have both virtual participation and in person. So I would certainly recommend either in person or Zoom, just from a technological perspective.
Well, I would suggest in person, because that's going to be accessible to more people than the virtual format. I mean, you can see we've only got 4 people attending this meeting right now. And we can definitely get more people in a room. It's also not much time to notice this. Is there another water bill coming out before we would have a meeting? We could let people know through their water bill, or how is this going to be publicized?
Well, if you want to do it through the water bill, we do have 2 inserts that are already going to be in our next water bill, which is in June, which would be our CCR report and our annual rate adjustment notice. So that would get
anything about fireworks in the next one, because that's the last chance before 4th of July, right?
Well, we sent one out in the last bills, so I think that was the plan. Again, we're going to provide each fireworks location with information to put with each sale. We also plan to put some signage in the community.
Okay, so back to the meetings on the creating the, it's not districts, areas, zones, what do you call it?
Divisions, yes.
Divisions, okay. Creating the divisions. What's the best way to get the word out about that?
Of course, we'll put it on our Facebook and our regular noticing process. Basically, those in the community are going to have to get the word out if they want to participate in this process.
Is somebody still posting in Nextdoor as well?
No, we haven't used Nextdoor.
Yeah, I'd suggest putting something in the water bills then, because a lot of people see those. I'd suggest putting a notice in the water bills and then holding the meetings in person, or since there's 2, maybe one could be in person and one could be virtual.
first one can be virtual. Mm-hmm. I think several of us could do Oceano South on Nextdoor as long as we didn't all respond to it. Just somebody wrote it out.
I'm not on Nextdoor anymore, so no chance of me.
Well, I still am. I don't respond much, but I mean, any of, you know, I could write it. For example, right. We could pass it around and see that everybody approves what's being written, and then I could put it on. That's no biggie.
I'll get back in touch with the consultant and see if he has any suggestions and ideas about having the meetings. We might be able to push it back into July if we need to. Let me talk to him again and we'll see what we can do.
I think it's the longer the process goes, the more critical is the community's input. You know, the once we learn how it is, then they'll have more to know about, to talk about.
I think it would be beneficial if you could push it back to July, and then from now on, as much word we can get out, like with Vice President White and Nextdoor, and just us with word of mouth, and just get it out there. And so I guess talk to the consultant well and see what we can do.
And to be honest, I know we only have four people on tonight, but it seems to me that the Zoom meetings have been better attended than our in-person meetings usually. So
depends on the topic.
What was that?
Depends on the topic.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't think the old firehouse is a draw tonight.
I have a question. Talking about in-person meeting, when is the office opening to the public? And I mean, do we have a date, you know, a plan?
Well, our office has really always been open to the public. We just do business through the window. So we don't plan to change that.
Right.
Soon. We are going to end our telecommuting in June, after June 15th. And then we'll have everybody back in the office working together. But as far as working with the public, we're still going to have the lobby closed, and they'll have to come to the window.
You know, Supervisor Compton put up an update today, like she does with the, you know, Corona update. And she did say that we're almost at the yellow tier. We're just that tiny bit away. So that we may be opened up. And it said that when we do get to the yellow tier, we will be able to do in-house meetings. So that might not be too far off in the future. If we keep the numbers like they're going, we're going down.
With separation and masks, I assume.
Separate, I would think so, yeah. We wouldn't.
We can't separate too much in our boardroom.
Well, if we have six people, they can spread out pretty good.
That's I was thinking of crowds, audience.
Okay, well, if we're all done here, let's move on.
More questions.
Are we all? I think we're all through, right?
Okay. Last question on that same topic. So will our second meeting in June be in person in the boardroom?
I don't know.
My understanding is that Governor Newsom has directed that as long as vaccinations are widely available and case rates are low, the tier system is going to go away and the state's going to fully reopen on June 15th.
June 15th,
so right. At that point, I would think that the emergency, you know, lifting of parts of the Brown Act would go away. And we would be
I haven't heard any details on the Brown Act issue. We're all kind of wondering the same thing. I think the June 15th is more for businesses. You know, I know state agencies are still going to be working from home. I've got several acquaintances that work for Caltrans, et cetera. So I don't know how that, but really it's up to you. there's some boards that have been meeting in person during the whole pandemic. So
it, did Roy Brandy meet in person?
What was that?
Did Roy Brandy meet in person last night? I can't remember. I don't know,
but if your board feels comfortable meeting in person, there's nothing that says we can't do that.
Our second June meeting would be on the 23rd. It's really pretty late in the month.
Look to try to do that and see what happens. Okay. All right, let's move on to our board of directors and outside committee meeting. So we'll start with Director Mia.
None.
Okay, thank you. Director Gibson?
Yeah, I don't know if it's my computer, but everybody's talking really slow. Is that just me?
I think it's, I haven't noticed.
Can you hear me?
I'm okay. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. All right. I think it's my computer. On May 7th, the State Water Subcontractors Advisory Committee met. And we had updates on water operations and water management tools study. And we also reviewed several ideas for dry year needs, kind of as food for thought. And a couple of them were public outreach for water conservation and how to do that, how to meet water needs in multiple dry years, and how critical is your state water project supply in terms of meeting dry year supply. So again, food for thought. And then on May 5th, I had a meeting with the Water Resources Advisory Committee. And so we had our basic updates, and then we discussed the proposed budget for 2021 and 22. And then I wanted to share some of the accomplishments made by RAC for last year, for 2020-21. Okay, so some of the things were a countywide stormwater plan implementation, completed assessment of existing drainage studies, a groundwater sustainability plan for the San Luis Obispo and Arroyo Grande basins, and then coordinated with local agencies to support installation of stream gauges. So you can see that different projects, and they're all interesting and diverse. So that's my report.
Thank you. Reports. Director, Vice President White.
Nothing.
All right, Director Ripongo.
Yes, I attended the IWMA meeting today. Unfortunately, I had a conflict with a work meeting, so I missed some of it. But they were talking about the potential for the county and some of the northern cities to withdraw from the JPA and what that effect would be on the IWMA. Just a couple highlights from that. They estimate that cost increases for SB 1383 implementation would be $500,000 a year, and the 42 mandated programs that they're maintained would be $1.25 million per year spread amongst the remaining members of the IWMA. There was also discussion of a potential rate increase. Unfortunately, I missed a lot of that discussion, so I can't tell you much about that. And then there was a lot of public comment sent in about a proposal on the consent agenda to provide education by advertising using billboards along Highway 101 and in movie theaters. And the billboards were not popular with the public commenters. I didn't catch how that vote turned out, but Mr. Minery, I know you were there. I heard that the item was pulled from the agenda for both of those, the billboards and the movie theater ads, but I didn't catch how the vote came out on them.
Yes, Ed, I don't recall the exact roll call vote, but the both the items as far as the movie theater advertisements in the movie theaters and on billboards was tabled to be put on another agenda with additional information from staff.
Thanks for that.
Okay.
That's all I had. Oh, one last thing related to the IWMA. Next Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors meeting, the supervisors have on the agenda request to approve a sole source contract with MSW Consultants in an amount not to exceed $32,050 to perform a cost-benefit analysis of the county's participation in the Slo County Integrated Waste Management Authority, and provide staff direction to confirm the scope and schedule for considering withdrawal. And they posted some of the supporting documents for that today, and they've actually got a timeline for what that would look like. So it needs to be a four out of five vote to do this study. But if that's passed, then the study would be completed by August. And then there would be a decision. If there was a decision to withdraw, it would be implemented by the end of the year. And from what I was reading in the documents from the consultant's proposal, it sounds like that would pull the authorized districts out with them. So I'm still not clear on what the impact on our district would be, but certainly this is something that individual directors might want to pay attention to or possibly comment on at the supervisors meeting on Tuesday, since unfortunately it's not on the agenda tonight, so we can't discuss it and weigh in as a board. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, then that brings us to me at the South. I did attend the South San Francisco County Sanitation District meeting. See, the first thing we reviewed and filed our third quarter budget, and everything, there was no adjustment recommended, so everything's good with the budget. It was on our agenda. We were still, I think I mentioned before, we were working on having Aurora Grande and Grover Beach join with turning the billing over to the county tax rolls, like was done for Oceano in 2016. Something we've been talking about doing since then. And so since March, there was been updates and work done with our general manager and our attorney on doing that. And then at the meeting this last Wednesday, it was voted to Grover Beach and Aurora Grande voted to not go to the tax rolls. They want to leave it the way it is, do the billing the way it is, and continue on with Oceano on the tax rolls and then doing the billing. And so the vote was 2-1 to do it that way. So we've dropped all efforts to move Arroyo and Grover to the tax rolls. Other than that, the plant is running smoothly on the construction on the redundancies moving. There's no issues there. If you want to go onto the website and see, there's a lot of pictures of the progress. You know, we can't go tour the plant just yet. Maybe soon we'll be able to go out and take a look. But right now, they are keeping updates on the website at the sanitation district. SLOCSD.org, or just, you can just find it online. So that's it for the sanitation district. So any comments?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
Do you have any idea how much that study on putting those two cities on the tax roll cost before they decided at the last minute not to do it?
We don't have that yet, but I think it was pretty costly because our administrator and the lawyer worked all week over the weekend getting answering the questions and things that they were having. I guess the cities were having a lot of questions from their residents, and they wanted, so it cost a lot, but by stopping it, we stopped all the charges that we're going to incur further.
Well, no, I was just thinking of if they had decided ahead of time before the sanitation district staff had to do work, it would have been
the impression that it was going to go right through. So
yeah,
it's
too bad
because it saves the district $35,000 a year, which helps keep our rates down. That was one of the points that we that I thought was important. But anyway,
might I ask what their reasons were for not wanting to?
Their citizens didn't like the change, and the mayor of Grover Beach stated that they don't have a problem. There's nothing that needs fixed there, so let's leave it the way it is. And they didn't want to confuse their residents. And I made the case that when it happened in Oceano, and initially there was confusion. People questioning, explained it and everything. And it is working fine in Oceano. And Jeff Mayor Lee stated that maybe these landlords would be unscrupulous and charge too much rent, which they can't do. They won't do. I mean, he just thought maybe tenants were concerned that their landlords would raise the rent, blaming it on a sanitation raise and sewer, or, you know, on the change, but, and raise it a very obnoxious amount. And our lawyer explained to him that, you know, there's laws, and I explained to him, because I'm in that business, and you can't just raise the rent. Plus the tenants would know what the rate is. It's, you know, on their water bill. So it just, the arguments didn't seem like, you know, they were good arguments. So anyway, that's the way it is for now. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, they never gave Oceano a choice. Mm-mm. Anyway,
we
need to get along with our neighbors.
I think we're doing fine with it. Our residents understand what's going on, and our landlords aren't greedy, or what do you mean, you know, trying to pull one over on their tenants. So I think, you know, just kind of the way it works here, and maybe it doesn't work that way in Grover. I don't know. That's what they said. So anyway, I'll leave it at that, and we will ask for public comment on the special presentations and the House and the Board of Directors reports.
And just to remind the public, it's *9 on the phone, and if you're on your computer or tablet, just hit the raise hand button. And with that, President Rossner, I have no hands raised.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. That brings us to our consent agenda. Minutes of the meeting, April 28th, cash disbursements, receive and file on charges of delinquencies. Instead of public hearing for the July 14th, 2021, to authorize collection of the 21-22 property tax bills. And then the NCMA report, 2020. So is there anything on the consent agenda that anyone wants to hold for separate consideration?
I have nothing.
President Austin, would you like to take public comment too, please?
I will.
I have just one correction on the minutes, and then I wondered if Mr. Clemens could give us like a top level summary of the NCMA report. I don't know if either of those requires pulling it. Maybe the second does.
No, it does not.
No? Okay.
Okay, so let's ask for public comment, then we can come back and have Mr. Clemens give us a report on the NCMA. So I'll open it for public comment for any of the items on the consent agenda.
And just a reminder, *9 on the phone, and then the raise hand button on the computer or tablet. And I have one hand raised so far, so I will unmute the first speaker, Mr. Edwards.
Good evening. It's actually Julie Tacker. We're sharing a computer tonight. I don't see that the report is attached to this agenda. So I don't know.
You talking about the NCMA?
Yes, sorry. The NCMA report is not attached to the agenda. Usually it is. So that's just an observation. I don't know. Surely you're going to attach it to the website somewhere. I'll look forward to it there. But I have reviewed it from other agencies' postings, and the amount of water that the district is pumping just last year was 19 acre feet. And that concerns me. The last 2 years, it's been well over 100 acre feet a year. And my concern is that when you reduce your pumping to such a low amount, that you may be giving up your rights, or it may look to the other cities, the other participants, that you don't need that water. You might not need it today, but you may in the future. And I wonder if you would have maybe a discussion about strategy and reserving your right by pumping some number that makes sense. Because as I have said, and Jeff Edwards have said to you for years, the Northern Cities Management Area partners do not have your best interest at heart, and they will manage your water away from you. So I'd love to hear a discussion at your board level and land on a number that makes more sense, or some other mechanism to reserve your right to the groundwater allocation that you already have due from the court. But if the others see that you have left water on the table there, they may come after it in one fashion or another. So that's my main concern, and thank you very much.
Okay. Is there anyone else, Carrie?
And with that was the last hand I have raised. Thank you.
Mr. Clemens or Jeff, is there any fear that if we don't use, you know, what Ms. Tacker just spoke about, we don't use all our water and leave some on the table, that there's a chance they could take our water?
Our groundwater allocation is in the stipulated, the stipulation and judgment filed with the court. We have an amount certain available through that stipulation and judgment.
So if we don't use it all that we have available, we still...
I'm not concerned about you increasing your pumping right now. I will leave that decision as far as how the allocation of water used up to Mr. Clemens.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
So I can address Director Replogle's. You wanted just a brief overview of the report. So in general, things are slightly worse off this year than they were last. I guess I would characterize it that way. We've seen water levels in the basin decline, and along with the resulting storage. It's still higher than during the last drought. So, you know, I wouldn't characterize it as dire, but seeing how the winter went this year, hopefully we don't have too many more of those in a row. So I guess that's an overall characterization of the report. There was a link in the staff report to the full report on our website, and it is posted on our website along with all the other NCMA annual reports. So it is there for the public to see.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Clemens. That brings us now to...
Oh, I just had the one correction on the minutes as well.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you for the summary, Mr. Clemens. So on the first page of the minutes, which is page 4 in the packet, the public comment from Sheila Eckhart ends with red letter regarding proposed Pier Ave shutdown. That would be more correctly written as Pier Avenue vehicle ramp shutdown. And also it's not proposed, it would be better said as planned or mandated by the Coastal Commission or something like that. But nobody's trying to shut down the entirety of Pier Avenue.
Thank you.
I think maybe when they post the minutes, they actually take what the people said rather than.
I went back and listened to the beginning of her statement, and she specified the shutting down the Pier Avenue vehicle ramp. And I'm not sure if you were, she used the word planned, but she didn't say proposed for sure.
Well, if you want to change it to ramp, but as far as mandated by the Coastal Commission, that's not, wasn't part of the public comment. So we can move that off. Okay. You want to?
Well, planned Pier Avenue vehicle ramp shutdown then, I think is what she said, but staff can go back and get a more accurate transcription.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's move on then to
get a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended.
I make a motion that
so
we
moved
as agenda. Anyway, yeah.
Director Gibson, so moved. Would you like to second it, Vice President White?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded by Director Gibson and Vice President White to approve the consent agenda with the correction in the minutes.
Yes. Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Plogle?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. Okay. Brings us now to the business items. So we want to discuss the potential lease with the place on PCH.
Yes.
We'll start with 9A. Do we do public comment before you give your report? Shouldn't you give your report on it first? And
I can give my report and then you can ask your public comment later. Okay. So basically both items tonight are going to be discussing your desire for the use of the old firehouse building and its environs. Back in 2018, I believe you had discussions with regarding the place and a possible lease. And at that time, I think the place had much more grand plans for the property, where it would include housing for traveling artists, etc. So using both the upstairs and the downstairs of the building. But they did some research on what it would take to, bring the building up to code for such a use, and it was probably more than they could bite off. So they've approached us again with a scaled back vision for the property, where they would have a art gallery slash bookstore just on the first floor of the building, kind of right behind the garage door area in the front of the building. And so they're proposing just to use that space, not the upstairs, not for, residents. It'll just be for the gallery use. And so they've done some preliminary work on what that would take. It would require the construction of two parking spaces. So that would have to be back behind the building in that kind of vacant lot there on 13th. And there's kind of a plan for that in your agenda packet, just kind of showing what that would look like. So if you were to lease this part of the building to the place, obviously they would have a lot of tenant leasehold improvements to construct, spend some considerable money on, the parking spaces. And it would take away some of our storage. So right now we have two vintage fire trucks that are stored in that building. One of them is owned by the city of Grover Beach, and the other one is owned by us. So in theory, we'd have to find a place to store both of those. Obviously, Grover Beach, we'd have to turn theirs back over to them. And they'd have to find a place for that one. But we would still be left with the Oceano vintage fire truck. One possibility would be perhaps in the design of the gallery, rather than constructing a permanent wall, they could do some sort of sliding garage door that would allow us to get the fire truck in and out if we ever needed to. So that could be factored into the lease and the plans. Some other issues I was thinking about when the district leased the property to the Village Group starting back, I think, in 2003. The way that was structured was the Village Group spent the money up front to get the building up to code for their uses, but then the district gave them rent credits until those improvements were paid off. So basically, it was improving the district building, so the district essentially paid for it over time through rent credits. So I would anticipate that perhaps maybe you would want to do the same thing if you allowed the place to improve the building. They would also have they'd have to construct an ADA accessible bathroom because the current structure only has a bathroom on the second floor. So they would have to also construct that bathroom in there. So, you know, they could upfront those costs, and if you wanted to basically pay them back through rent credits, that we could factor that into the lease. And then I got to thinking, you know, we've always talked about parks and recreation services and having no money to do anything, but maybe this would be an opportunity to provide rent credits to the place if they were to offer free art classes, welding classes, whatever it might be, to members of Oceano community. So for example, if it was, you know, let's say we came to an agreement on $50 an hour. So if they offered an art class for an hour and 10 people from Oceano showed up, we could give them, you know, a $500 rental offset for that class. So it's a way for the district to offer parks and recreation service without having to spend any money from our, you know, out of our pockets. And the county does that quite often where they will lease property for a dollar to an organization, a nonprofit that provide some service that the county would otherwise have to provide to the citizens. So it's a model that governments use often with their properties. And I understand the place has received their nonprofit status since the last time this was discussed. So those are some of the issues that I kind of am looking for your direction on. And then the other thing would be timing. You know, if you support this type of use for the building and moving forward on a lease, one of my concerns would be we have the fire issue outstanding. So if there's a special tax election and it is not approved again, then we're kind of in the place where what do we do with fire? Do we divest to the county? No doubt the county would come in and want to take over our firehouse to provide that service. So that would cause the district need to look for office space probably, or possibly, I shouldn't say probably. But we have a lot of property, one being that vacant lot where we could build another building in theory. So this decision on whether to lease the old firehouse to the place and allow for parking spaces on that vacant parcel, that could limit the use of that parcel for other things. So I just throw that out there as an issue to think about. So with that, I think that's kind of my thoughts, and I was looking for some direction so that the place doesn't spend a lot of money moving forward without some idea that this is the way the district wants to go.
As far as the parking area, does that have to be asphalted, or can it be like a DG type, just a gravel?
I believe it has to be ADA compliant. So I can't say for certain that it needs to be asphalt, but it I know when we did work at the county, decomposed granite was allowed for certain uses, but it had to really be compacted and have this special sealant to keep it solid so that, you know, wheelchairs wouldn't get stuck in the mud. So I think asphalt's probably the easiest way to do it.
Okay. Just to follow up on that question, is there a plan for drainage if we're putting in all this impermeable surface where previously it was ground that could contribute to downstream flooding? So ideally it would be something permeable, but if at least part of it would have to be asphalt for ADA compliance.
Well, I think also pavers could work, right? And those are considered pervious. So pavers.
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of what you said.
I said it possibly we could use pavers instead of asphalt, and that would be pervious and help alleviate some of those issues. But it all has to be engineered.
I think that should be something in the consideration. What's the condition of the fire truck that we own? Is it something that maybe instead of a roll-up door to get it out of there, it could be like a sliding glass panel so people could have a look at it? Some people might like to see an old-time fire truck. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it looks, to be honest, I like the Grover Beach one better.
wrong.
But I mean, it's still cool. It's an old fire truck.
Well, it's our, you know, old Seattle number one.
It's kind of a 1950-ish really good, look.
It's got a really good history too.
Yeah. I mean, that could be used to draw at the back of the gallery with, you know, a little plaque talking about the history. Something to think about. But I really like all of the things that you've talked about. I think it sounds great. On the timing issue, I'm not super concerned about that. You know, if we did have to divest of fire and emergency services, we need to remember we still have 120 hours a year at the Oceana Community Center reserved for our use, which I don't believe that anybody's using right now. Is that correct?
Probably not, because of the pandemic too.
Couldn't use it as an office full time though.
No,
but we could use it for meetings if we had to. And,
you know, office space on its own is fairly small. Putting it out there, so you know, it is an option.
Well, if worst comes to worst, we are going to have some kind of a building to put our accountant and our secretary and our everyone. It's not just like you could go over there part-time.
So how much, Mr. Clements, how much of, sorry?
I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, I believe Darcy from the place is on the line in case you need to ask him any questions.
Well, for you, how much of the vacant lot would the parking take up? Like if we did need to build a small building there, is there still room for that or?
I believe there would be room for a small building. I also, what I would envision is hiring an architectural firm to look at our property and see what's the best use for that, you know, whatever situation we find ourselves in. And I think we have enough property, whether it be on the back of our, you know, because there's always the possibility the county would still allow us to use this. But if not, if they want to bring the firefighters out of the mobile and put them in here, then the mobile would probably go away and we could use a portion of the parking lot for a building. So I think there's possibilities, but I would want an architectural firm to do that analysis to say, this is the best use for your property under whatever circumstance we find ourselves in.
How long would the lease be to start with? Like a year, 2 years, or you don't?
I think that would have to depend on, you know, how much money is he going to sink into it up front? He's going to want it long enough to where he gets that money back.
Right.
So I would.
Liability is.
What was that?
Is the liability the district's, or do they get their own liability, or how does that work?
Yeah. You want me to handle this?
Sure.
So we would have standard provisions related to insurance requirements and, of course, an indemnification of the district should anything happen. But that's all through the lease, which is a contract, we would assign the liability. I'm not concerned at all about that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, anybody else want to? So our consensus is we want to have Will continue to talk with forward and see. I think everybody agrees.
I would love to see it as downtown Oceano, that's for sure.
You know what, it's something I think, I don't know if I mentioned this to Will, but we needed, you know, doing this and having people there on the corner, see about, you know, Caltrans and doing something about slowing the traffic as they come down that hill into town. If we could put like, didn't I ask you, Will, put one of the flashing slow or speed limit or something to stop slowing the traffic there?
Yeah, so I started, you know, basically it's an enforcement issue with the CHP. So I'm trying to find out who to talk to at the CHP to step up enforcement on the hill here. but the Caltrans is doing the overlay project through Pismo and Oceano in 2023, I believe. Right. So I'm going to try to contact the project manager and see what their plans are right in front of our offices. And I hear they're going to put in a crosswalk, but I'm not sure where.
Well, we need light, you know, down there on that corner. It's so dark.
Yeah. So I just need to get more details on that project and whether that's an opportunity to do something to try to slow down traffic, but ultimately it's a 30-mile-an-hour zone and it needs to be enforced.
Need a big sign up there that says 30-mile-an-hour, because I don't think everybody,
we can talk.
I ride with people and they say, hey, it's 30 miles an hour, and they go, oh, you know, even a sign would help.
Before they put those flashing signs,
like the one we have on Halcyon Road.
They'll do that.
Maybe we can see.
Yeah. There's one out on West.
Could we give Darcy an opportunity to say something? I'd like to hear a little bit about his vision.
Sure. Darcy, are you there? Would you like to say something?
Yeah, let me unmute Darcy from the place. Darcy, if you hit star 6, oh, there you are. I saw you unmute.
Yes, I'm here.
Perfect.
Thank you for letting me speak. Good evening, members of the board. I think Will said it just about perfectly. The issues that he pointed out, I have been in contact with Supervisor Compton, and they are waiting for me to give them, you know, your collective response to whether you're going to vote to go forward with it, and if so, they are going to help us get the permits put through. And we have the professional drawings of the architecture firm. I'm not sure if you have those or not, but we just changed it as of today to, there's a drawing of a bathroom, an ADA bathroom. It was kind of under the stairs, and I think it works out a lot better if it's on the other side of the wall, closest to the dirt lot. There's a small room already sort of segregated off there, and it just has stacks of boxes in it. So we would look at making that into a handicap bathroom, and then the parking is something that we're looking into also.
Okay. Well, I think it sounds, I think we'll wait for public comment, and then we'll go ahead and vote. I guess. Do you have anything else, Darcy, you want to add? Or
maybe, Darcy, can you provide just your vision for the space in general? What will be in there?
Well, because the space across the street is, you know, basically a shed that we've kind of converted and put some nice bells and whistles on the exterior so that it looks good from the road, what we would propose across the street is a much tighter official type gallery space with more than likely white walls and nice pedestals and sort of in opposition to what we have across the street. And then when we have visiting artists that would be there for anywhere from a couple of weeks to a couple of months, not in there, but you know, they could have shows at the end of their time at the place. And, you know, I think it would just be a great way to open the experience of art and things like that to the community. And like Will said, that we could offset it with classes. And I think that would, you know, be a real nice perk. And I had said that back a couple years ago when we talked about this before, that was always our intention to offer classes. We weren't just thinking of that to offset the rent. We intended that all along.
All right. Well, yeah, that's it. I really like that idea. Classes. The whole thing sounds good to me. So let's open for public comment. Thank you very much, Darcy.
Thank you, guys.
Is there any public comment?
Yeah, just a reminder to the public, *9 on the phone and raise hand button if you're on your computer or tablet. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
All right, that brings it back to the board. Any other comments? So I'll entertain a motion.
I think we just are looking for direction. We don't really need any formal motion. I think I got what I need.
Okay, so we're going to move forward then. This is great. Wonderful. Thank you. All right.
One quick question, Mr. Clemens. I heard that the request for proposals for murals on the outside of the old firehouse was pulled. Is that correct?
Was what?
Was pulled because the artists were saying
we didn't pull it. The deadline is this Friday, but we haven't received any proposals. And the feedback that I'm getting, we may not receive any proposals because they feel the stipend isn't high enough. So I think we'll wait to see what we get this week. We may not need to do anything, but I think this could be another opportunity for rent offsets is, you know, work directly with the place if they're leasing the building. and tell them exactly what we want them to put on the outside. You know, have them come up with some options, and then they can do the work, and we'll give them more rent offsets. So it may turn out to be better than, you know, paying artists. I don't know, but we'll see.
All right. Anything else? Okay, then we'll, very good. Thank you, everyone. Let's move on now to 9B, which is discuss the Victory Garden program and provide direction as deemed appropriate. So, Will, did you want to?
Yeah, I'll just give a brief introduction. I think the staff report kind of explained it nicely. We were approached. There's a Master Gardener program through the UC Cooperative Extension, which is a department of the county, but it's not funded by the county. They're looking for places in communities to hold gardening classes. They're thinking that the little courtyard area around the flagpole of the old firehouse would be a good location for some demonstration, like raised garden beds, and they could teach classes there. And I think it's a 4-week course that's outlined in the staff report. Don't necessarily need your approval to move forward with this, but I thought we should discuss it as something, whether or not you're interested in going that direction. And again, I kind of see it as an opportunity to provide parks and rec services without spending any money.
Great.
Any questions on the program? Or
I can add to that I met over there with the woman from the Master Gardener, her and her associate, and they're really, really excited about getting started there and teaching classes. They would teach the children and families in Oceano how to raise their own vegetables, how to grow, how to do, gardens, container gardening. So like even in, they said that the programs, they started out in Los Angeles and it's just gone really good. So I'm really excited about this. And it's going to go in with our other, what we want to do there with the flagpole. I haven't talked about it at a meeting, but we talked to Will about it. Shirley found the clipping that told the story about that flagpole. And for years, I wondered about what we should do about that pole. And turns out it was the original pole for the Oceano Fire Department. And it was erected in 1952 there by the community, and we have the news clippings and the articles about when it happened, and it was a big community event with the fire department and all the residents, and that was in 52. And so what we wanted to do is it would be a project under the Oceano Depot Association and use our assets to restore the flagpole and put a couple benches. We want to do an informational thing with the history of the Oceano Fire Department and have some pictures of the old fire department with all the men that were part of the department back in the 50s and even the 40s. There's a lot of their families still in Oceano, and I think it would be wonderful to have a place they could go and where their families are remembered for the contributions. Back in that time, the fire department was like the women's club, and they did everything for the community. All their fundraisers were for like band uniforms and whatever benefited the town. These Victory Garden wants to go on the one section between the walkway. They think that would work fine. Then we would do the other section, but part of it would be Victory Garden also. So it would all become a nice little community area that, you know, anybody can go sit. We'll have a couple benches and people can go sit and, you know, enjoy. We'll have some native plants and she thought they could do this. It depends on the, you know, how it turns out, but they could get it started. And I know we talked about that area on 19th Street, someday making community garden there. So they get their start here and see how it goes. They could maybe expand and do it more into the community and kind of make a big, you know, real positive thing for our people. So I think it's a great, great idea.
I have one comment and one question. The question would be, would OCSD provide the water?
Yeah, I guess so. There's a water spigot there. Would that be the contribute?
I don't know. I'm just asking because water is a commodity. And the other thing, I have raised beds because of the gopher problems, which all of Oceano and Halcyon share. And I know how much product I can get from a little 4x4 box or a 6x8 box that's intensively gardened. It's like
you said, and they can teach people this right outside their front door. They can have a little garden and grow their own. And it's really
big garden, big garden. You can get just a lot of product intensively farmed, intensively fertilized, and you're saving water. And I think it would be a really good idea.
Yeah. So this whole thing with the art thing, you know, I just think that whole corner is going to be really, really nice.
Just the start. And we can just
I have a question.
And more murals.
Yeah.
I have a question. Can you tell them I really like asparagus so they can plant some?
Takes 2 years to grow asparagus, Shirley.
I love the program.
The goal is to teach you how to do it.
I can't grow anything else.
And will this be like a yearly thing that goes on and on, or just a one time?
Well, they said they would do it like starting soon. What did you say? 4 weeks.
Yeah. So I guess that would be up to them. I wouldn't see how, if you have some, you know, gardens readily available, why they wouldn't continue to do it. But that's something we can explore with them. How often?
So we'll have gardening classes and art classes, right there in the same area. I think it's really, really great.
The Master Gardener program is an older program. I mean, it's been going on for more than 20 years that I know of. So I don't expect it to be phased out in 6 weeks.
It started in 2010 to address poverty, hunger, and food insecurity in the Los Angeles County.
Yeah.
40% of the children were overweight or obese. It's to improve accessibility to fresh produce, improve health, and cut grocery bills by giving beginning gardeners extra support and attention and starting edible gardens in their local communities. So I think there's a lot to learn.
That's great. My mom's all excited.
Well, you put in some perennials too. You put in some perennials and fruit trees and stuff. It will go forever and ever.
I'd be able to put some fruit trees there. That would be nice.
Lemons. Meyer lemons. Produce all year round. Enough. Thank you.
Oh, this sounds great. Regarding the water, maybe the design could incorporate some rain barrels to catch rainfall coming off of the roof. I've got one of those at my house. It's a converted wine barrel. Yeah, I'd love to. It's a little scary tonight, President Austin. You're reading my mind again. I'd love to see it expand to that area on 19th Street as well. And I know we've got a source of water there. Tony's told me when I visited the water yard about a tank that when they clean the main water tanks, they have to offload some of the water, and so it's stored there, and it could be used for free for a garden in that area. I hope I said that right, Tony. But yeah, this is fantastic. I'm really excited to see what's coming in there on that corner.
Okay, well then I guess we have our direction on that, right, everyone?
Yep.
Good meeting. How about Harry Gardens? Nothing.
You might want to take
public comment. I'm
not sure if you did.
I didn't on this, no.
Yep, and just to remind the public, it's *9 on the phone, and it's the raise hand button if you are on your computer or tablet. All right, and with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
All right. We have no hearing items. So that brings us down to the received written, late written, anything there, Mr. Clemens?
Nope.
Okay. Future agenda items, anyone? I think we got a lot on there now. Nothing new there, so.
Be able to take a couple off quick.
Yeah. Okay, well, if that's anything else before we adjourn.
Amazing when we're going in positive directions, nobody comments.
Yeah. Good right. Job, Will. Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
I make a motion we adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye. Second. Aye.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.